Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
Today the topic is women at work. And there's really a lot of stories about women, you know, who meet somebody at work or the things that women do. And let me say this, because this is going to be kind of an interesting visit today, but frankly, I think in a lot of cases, it's the women of the world who get the jobs done. I mean, I've been in some offices and seen some operations where you wonder what these guys are doing. Look at these heads nodding over here. I see that. The women that sit there, you know, these guys, sometimes you think, well, they just talk on the phone and go to lunch and come back. And these women are diligently working, typing stuff, making calls. And sometimes you get the impression, don't you, that the women really do all that. Now, how many women would agree with that? All right, I want to take you today to Proverbs chapter 31. And you know, sometimes in church we make the assumption that everybody's read everything, we're all on the same page. Some of you may have never heard this, okay? There is a passage in Proverbs 31, beginning verse 10, that goes through 31, that talks about a virtuous woman or a virtuous wife. And before we get too far into this thing, that's verse 10, says, who can find a virtuous wife or a virtuous woman? Let me read you the definition for virtuous. It may not be what you've always thought it was. The word virtuous means strength, might, efficiency, wealth, or it can refer to an army. Ability, efficiency, wealth, force, army. So it has something to do with this person, this woman's character, but it is about a strong, powerful woman. Now, how do you find a strong, powerful woman? He says, the writer goes on to say, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. This is, if you find somebody like this, you find a woman like this, she is valuable. It is very hard to find. It's easier to find rubies than it is to find a woman like this. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit different twist on this today, so just hold on. Verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She is a great money manager. Budgeting, money manager, he trusts her. Now, women get a terrible rap because of credit cards and all this stuff. You know, they go out and go to these malls. You know, it's like men never go to malls. They may not go to malls. They go to, like, Home Depot, okay? The man's mall is Home Depot. And if you want to see a man spend money on nothing, we'll follow him around at Home Depot and watch him pick up tools that will go home and remain unsealed. See, they're not to use, they're collector's items. But before you men go pouncing on these women, I used to be in the precious stone business for a long time, and I had this man and woman come in, and he was not happy about being in this office buying anything jewelry-oriented. Men don't understand jewelry. And we've already got jewelry in here. She's worth more than rubies. That doesn't mean you don't buy her rubies. It just means she's worth more than rubies. But this couple came in and sat down, and I realized, you know, he didn't want to buy her anything. He was there under duress, and it wasn't easy. It's kind of like he owed her something. It was not pleasant. It wasn't a fun thing for them. So I'm sitting there, and I keep looking at this, and I don't know if it's a God thing or what happened, but I said to this guy, I said, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people come in to buy something like this, something nice for their wife. And it's amazing to me how many guys who hesitate on this kind of purchase, you know, they can go out and buy a $30,000, $40,000 fishing boat and think nothing of it. And I mean, the second I got that out, she looked at him like that. He had just bought. I'm telling you. He had just bought a $35,000 rig. And, buddy, he had nothing left to say. He bought her something and they were out of there. I mean, it was... So it never hurts to pray in a sales situation. But this guy, her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. He knows she's going to do the right thing, going to manage the money. She's not going to do anything wasteful. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's like a purchasing agent. Verse 13. You're going to like, where's he going to get all this? But here we go. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She goes out and seeks out wool and flax, and you'll see later what she does with it. She's a smart shopper. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. This word merchant means to go around, to go about, travel about, go about in trade, to go about to and fro in business, trader, trafficker, someone who really goes out and seeks out the deals. But this woman is a smart woman. She goes wherever the deal is and brings it back. It says she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. And I don't want to go too far with this, but this woman had employees at the house. I mean, she had managed her business in such a way that somehow she could afford to even have maidservants living in the house. And she's up early. Now, if you'll notice this, if you keep reading through this stuff, she's like, goes to bed last. She's up early. She's up all night. This woman never sleeps either, so don't take this too far. I mean, you got to rest somewhere. But this is some kind of woman described here. She's up before the morning comes up to provide food for her household. This woman is in real estate. You're like, oh boy, where's he going to get this? She considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She is a real estate agent and an entrepreneur. She's more than just an agent. She's a broker. She's got enough to go buy it, sell it, and with the profits, go plant a vineyard. Guys, I'm telling you, and I can find you other passages in the Bible to back this up. The Bible does not, I mean, I can show you a verse in the New Testament. It says for husbands to love your wives, take care of your wife, because they are the weaker vessel. And women twist off and men go, that's right. And it has nothing to do with your ability in business. Weaker vessel simply means that women physically, in a lot of cases, if not most cases, are weaker physically, not emotionally, mentally, or any other way. It just says, cherish, take care of this woman. And that, by the way, that passage says, if you don't, one of the reasons why a man's prayers are hindered is because he doesn't take care of his wife. So you guys are like, you know what, like all my prayers are hitting the ceiling. How are you treating your wife? God says, I'm not answering your prayers unless you take care of her. All right, where'd that come from? It was quiet, but it's coming. She considers a field, she buys it from her profits, she plants a vineyard. So she's an entrepreneur, she's working, she's thinking. And I never saw this one until today, but fitness. She works out, okay, it's in the Bible. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. How about that? Somebody stop me. Anyhow. So this is a strong woman physically, mentally, emotionally. I mean, you know, you say, well, where are these women? Now, guys, you say, well, I... There are more of these women around than you realize, gentlemen. Most men, unfortunately, and I don't want to categorize all men, but a lot of men will say, are looking for the woman described, warned against in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 instead of the Proverbs 31 woman. You're looking for some hot babe that time and gravity are going to catch up with like everybody else. So, and if you need any kind of interpretation on that, I'll talk to you afterwards. So she is a strong woman. Verse 18, she pays her bills. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She keeps the lights on. And you know what I thought? Well, that doesn't mean anything. Let me tell you something. Keeping your lights on is important. And if you've ever been in a house and been in a situation economically where you couldn't keep your lights on, it's not any fun. And I'm not crazy about saying these things, but I remember tough times. And I've mentioned this before. Rebecca and I in business and things were lean, and I mean, there were times when something had to be paid and it wasn't the lights, and you give it till the last day. You say, well, you just didn't manage your money right. Let me tell you something. When there ain't any money to manage, it ain't about managing it. It's about juggling, not managing. It's not any fun. This woman keeps her lights on somehow. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She's a weaver. I mean, this woman is an industrious woman. It's unbelievable what she's capable of. Charities. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not just making money entrepreneurial described here. She is looking for ways. She sees people in need, and she reaches out her hand to meet those needs. Verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet, implying that they are clothed in warm clothes. She takes care of her family. She's not afraid when the cold comes. She's prepared for that. She dresses nice. This is interesting. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now, I don't want to go too far with this. My wife is a dress designer and usually looks like $1 million. I have this thing, and I'm not saying all women should wear purple and linen and, you know, all this silk stuff. I mean, but I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be a floozy to look nice. And there is nothing like looking up, and I'm not saying chasing or hitting on some woman, but when you look up and see a woman who knows how to take care of herself, that makes a statement to me. That makes a huge statement to me. And it doesn't take, you say, well, I don't have any money, I can't look nice. And I tell you what, I'll arrange a shopping spree and you can go with my wife. She can take $20 and bring you back in Chanel suits. I mean, let me tell you something. She'll take you to the Salvation Army store. She loves this stuff. I mean, it's a fun thing for her. She literally comes back with stuff and show up at some lunch and everybody goes, well, oh, what a beautiful suit. And she just can't tell them she paid $16 for it, because it'd make them crazy because they spent $1,600 for theirs. You don't have to spend a fortune to look nice. And this woman somehow knew how to make her own clothes, and I'm not saying you have to do that, but guys, how much you spend on something does not determine whether you look nice in it or not. Because if you aren't nice, you're not going to look very nice anyway. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. I'm going to tell you one of the great indicators to me that women in the Bible worked. Because a lot of places you read through the Bible, and it's all these men sitting at a gate somewhere. I'm like, who's doing the work? These guys are all sitting up at the gate talking, you know. Well, we're pontificating. We're working up here at the gate. I'm like, no, you're sitting at the gate while everybody else is doing the work. These women are out here doing this stuff. But her husband is known in the gates. He's got some kind of wife. I mean, he's lazy, but he's got some kind of wife. No, they weren't lazy. That's just where they were. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. Now she's making clothes. She wears purple and linen, but now she's making linen garments and selling them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Now, lest you women, this is particularly the women or you guys who have wives, you say, well, how am I going to find time to do all this? And before this is over, I'm going to throw something out here, and this may be a personal thing, but I'm going to show you a way maybe to find time to do this, okay? So hang with me, girls, and just put down anything you could throw because I don't want anybody being tempted. All right. Listen to verse 25. And this is probably one of my wife's favorite verses. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She makes clothes. She sells clothes. But strength and honor are really her clothing. That's really what covers her. And that's what you really see. No matter what she's wearing physically, that's what you're going to see. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She's wise, and when she speaks, you know it and you hear it. She's not going on and on, yak, 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 about nothing. When she speaks, it's, you know, Mrs. E.F. Hutton. When she speaks, people listen. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Now, this is not always the case. Just because you raise your kids right doesn't mean they'll treat you right. And don't go waving your finger at parents that turn out, you know, they got kids on drugs and all kind of problems. Don't go waving your finger. They could be the best parents on the planet and that kid make decisions and choices and end up a loser for the time being. But this says her children rise up and call her blessed. Sooner or later, they're going to come around and realize, you know what, I got a great mom. Her husband also, and he praises her. Guys, this is not about the guys. And I don't know what's up with men, and I am one of these men who for some reason I'll go to say something. Do not, and I've said this before, the worst form of criticism is a compliment withheld. If you sit down to dinner and it is a nice dinner and someone's gone to the trouble and you've enjoyed the dinner and you think the thought, speak the words. Say the simple things. Praise her. If she goes to the trouble to get her nails done or comb her hair, you know, basic stuff. I'm going to tell you, and men think they don't need this stuff. I think they do. But women, if a woman comes out, guys, and she has taken the time to put a nice dress on or get dressed nicely, put the makeup on, fix her hair, and she's going somewhere with you, and you look at her and go, oh, baby, say it. Look at her and say, you know what? You look really nice. I have seen my wife light up, and there are ways to compliment other women too in a safe way, but at least your wife, at least the person you're dating, you're in a relationship with. Women, does this work or no? All right, there we go. Y'all look real nice today. Anyhow. Her husband also calls her blessed and praises her then. Verse 29, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And you guys are out there looking, or you women are out there chasing or trying to snag some guy, you can be very charming. But in the end, it can be deceitful. And beauty is fading. Find one of these women, guys. You're not looking for a shell. I was going to say you're not looking for a shell, you're looking for a nut, but that doesn't sound very good. That would apply more to the women looking for a man, I think. It's not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. And see, what I love about loving my wife and about who she is that one day, if we both live, the beauty may fade, but in a way, my wife gets prettier every day because I see more of who she is on the inside. And that's probably what you should have fallen in love with in the first place. The outside may attract you, but the inside's what's going to keep you. So find out who these women are, and it goes both ways. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, the title of this thing is Women at Work. We've got a lot of working women in the room. I've listened very close because I don't want any misunderstandings. The women in this room, I would bet that 80, 90% of you, there may be some fraction that are just messing around on your job. But these women in here work hard. I got a wife at home at work too. And there are women at work in this city here in these buildings, and some at home. And I don't think there's really any distinction. And I don't want my wife's job. I couldn't do it. Three little kids at home, I mean, I'd flip out after about a day and a half. And they're alone training an infant child. I'm going to tell you, she's got some of the toughest work on the planet because it requires patience, and I know everybody's got this. And I'm going to tell you a little story in the next few minutes that we have. And I'm going to throw this out here as a challenge, and it may only apply to a fraction of the women in this room, but my wife and I were in business. We manufactured ladies' apparel, and we'd go to the office. We got one of our offices. We turned into a nursery when Elizabeth was born. Elizabeth slept on the couch by my desk. I changed diapers all day long, held that baby. Rebecca would nurse, and we had the kids together. But there came a point when I went back into full-time, quote-unquote, ministry, that we looked at each other and said, we're going to shut this business down and we're going to raise these kids because you do not get your kids back. Now, for whoever this is for, I don't know, but I'm going to challenge the women in this room, especially if you have small children, they will be gone just like that. And so much of what happens in our society is about economics. It's about a better car, a better house. But sooner or later, it's got to be about better kids. And there's been a point in time, we got two of them in school now and one at home. And there's coming a day when little Catherine will go to school and mama's going to have a block of time in the day. And I'll be the first one to say, sweetheart, whatever you want to do, go back at it. My wife makes stuff at home. She will end up probably making more money out of the house doing little craft things. She makes cards, wire crosses, crowns of thorns. You say, well, I'm not creative. Yes, you are. You say, well, I can't do it. I got to have a job. Let me tell you something. God, if He's putting this in your heart, and this isn't for everybody, and I'm not speaking to the single moms in this room who are stuck and can't do anything about it, and they got to work, or they don't eat, and their kids don't eat. So don't leave here going, oh, God, you know, I feel worse. It's not about you. But if you and your husband sit down and say, you know what, we got these kids, and we're not going to get them back, and we're going to take a hiatus here in a block of time, and if we have to move into a little house and sell one of the cars and ride the bus, we are going to raise these kids because we won't get another chance to do it. And if everybody on your block's got a new car, let them drive their new cars, because my little girls aren't going to give a rip what kind of car they rode around in as a kid. They're going to want to know what kind of mom and dad they had and that some decisions were made to raise those kids. Now you say, well, I don't agree with this. I didn't say you had to agree with it. I'm just making a suggestion and a challenge. And if the Holy Spirit, not me or anybody else, but if the Holy Spirit taps on your door and says, you know what, think about that, then trust God. If He tells you to go home and stay home and say, now God, I'm not going to sit here and watch this baby burp all day and change diapers. Give me some way, something industrious to do where I can do this and that. And I believe He'll honor that. I'm seeing that happen in my own house. But I respect my wife. You have no idea how much I respect my wife, because she could be designing dresses right this second and make enough money to put all these kids in daycare and keep going. You say, well, that's the American way. That may be the American way, but I'm not saying it's the best way. Now, this is not the easiest thing for me to get up here and say, because it's not the popular thing, because you won't get rich and get to your big old house as fast as you were, if that's even the goal. This is not about getting rich. It's about being rich with children who are not going to make it. It's tough out there, guys. So whether this is for you, anybody that listens to this tape, or you as a grandparent who can sit down and encourage your kids, I'm not trying to tell you to do some antiquated thing. I'm trying to suggest that you consider maybe a wise thing and give up some of the stuff you think is so valuable and latch on to the things that are supposedly the most valuable things you've got in your house. I'm waiting for just one little amen here, but I know it didn't happen. Anyhow, work around your kids. Don't make your kids work around your work. Put them in the center and say, okay, what are we going to do to maximize our effectiveness here? Now, this is not easy, but the tough stuff in life is never easy. And it's going to cost you if you make this kind of decision. But I'm going to tell you what, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Let's pray. And our Father, I thank you so much for this group, this room. And Father, I thank you for these women who make such a difference. And Father, that you have put them in the offices and in the workplace that they are more than to do a job for a boss or a company or for themselves if they're self-employed, Father. You have put them there to be salt and light. And I pray they'd understand that and see that. And that they would live not just as women, but as godly women. And that all who know them and see them would know that you are the difference in their lives, and that they would be diligent, productive, the poster child for the whole office in terms of what a godly working woman should be. And Father, I pray especially today for the single moms in this room who are scraping and clawing and doing everything they can, maybe even working two jobs to feed some kids. And I don't know what the circumstances are in each situation, Father, why they're alone and whose fault it was, but it's beyond that now. And I pray for the husbands who financially are responsible to single moms and their kids, that they would come through and do the right thing. And I pray for the moms that you'd give them patience and strength and imagination and encouragement, Father, from us. And I pray that you would use churches in this city and in our world to back up these basically widows in some cases, Father, without a husband, that lose hope so many times, and that today would be an encouragement to them, Lord, not a slap in the face. And Father, I also pray for the husbands, the wives, the mothers in this room who can really come up with no other reason why they work but to make more money, to get rich, to buy something else, and they know in their heart of hearts their kids may need them, and they have the small window of time and opportunity to be there with them. Lord, you show them, not me. Let it be from you from the inside out. And Father, I'd be remiss. There are women in the room who say, it's not about my kids, it's not about my job, I'm trying everything and nothing seems to work. And they realize they're empty, and no matter how much money they make, no matter what they try, nothing seems to fill the void in their heart. Help anybody in that condition today, Father, understand that the person they've looked for all their life, the thing they've looked for, is a person. It's Jesus Christ, that He lived a perfect life as God in the flesh, died on the cross, shed His blood, was buried and raised from the dead to purchase a place for us in heaven that He offers as a free gift. And we can reach out the hands of our heart, acknowledge that we've sinned, we need your forgiveness, and receive this awesome gift that not only enables us to live forever in heaven with you, but between here and heaven, have an abundant life. God, thank you so much for loving us and for Jesus, his life, death, burial, and resurrection to make all this possible. And we pray it in his name.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.